T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just kind of insane. I think it's the punishment was relatively lax, I think, as far as what went to the players, but MLB made their decision and it's over with now.
That's the hard stuff for me. People's careers could have been over because of that. So that's what hits me. Cheating is cheating, but when you mess with people's lives and careers, that's what's the hard thing for me.
A lot of people got a lot of things to say about the Houston Astros, especially outside of Houston. The most hated team in sports is your Houston Astros. Beloved here, hated outside. Houston against the world has never been stronger. Stern and Locke here on Sports Radio 610. Clint, you're getting a little bit tired of the outside noise.
Yeah, look, I was critical yesterday, man. Jim Crane did a terrible job. To come to find out, he had a crisis management team that he hired that they obviously gave him some bad direction, didn't prepare him the right way. And so there's plenty of blame to go around with what the Astros put on display yesterday. And so I don't disagree with all of the America, the media, the rest of Major League Baseball that yesterday was a mess until the clubhouse was open to Carlos Correa and George Springer in particular. I thought they did a great job. But the outside portion of it, the orchestrated portion of it, that I'm assuming was part of this crisis management plan, it was a mess. It made things worse. And so I totally understand where there's a lot of criticism coming their direction based off of what was said. But Landry, I'm sick and tired of particularly other teams, other players, media from other markets, bitching and moaning and complaining about the Astros. Think about it like this. Is it pretty fair to say that this was a league-wide, it was a pretty widespread problem in Major League Baseball?
I think it's safe to say. I think probably so, yes.
Okay. It's pretty safe to say it that it was multiple teams. Dallas Keuchel said 6 of the 8 teams were
changing the signals.
There's articles and reports going back to the 80s with Jack McDowell talking about Tony La Russa doing it and flashing lights in center field kind of deal, right? So this isn't just the first time that data's been gathered and signs have been relayed in ways using technology. This isn't the first era that it's happened. It's not the first organization that it's happened with. And so I'm sick and tired of others acting like that the Astros are the only organization that was up to this, okay? I'm tired of all the chirping, all the trash talking, all the smack talking, because here's the deal. When it's all said and done, the Astros are the face of the scandal. The rest of the league should be thankful that the Astros are the face of the scandal. Again, first things first, this was a pretty widespread issue in Major League Baseball. Just like steroids was a widespread issue in baseball, and a couple of guys to this day have to live with being the face of that, right? So you should be thankful that you're not part of an organization or an investigation, and you're not the one that has to be the face of this scandal, first and foremost, because there's a lot of people out there that are guilty of this type of thing. So the Astros being the face of the scandal, there's one. Here's the other deal. The fact that the Astros players took the immunity and aren't getting disciplined are precisely why this league will be cleaner moving forward. So if you're of the group that wants to complain about, well, it's the integrity of the game and respect for the game and respect for other players, hey, man, send them a thank you card. Moving forward, this league will be cleaner and the integrity will be held intact because the Astros are the face of this scandal and are the face of this problem. They're taking all the heat. They're taking everything. So everybody outside of here, Man, I don't want to hear it, man. I've heard enough. I'm over all the whining and bitching and moaning. I understand it's a problem. I understand it's a bad look. I understand we can talk about it. But all the bitching and whining and crying and suing, come on, man. I'm over it.
They were also the best at it. You know, I mean, and they were the best team at doing whatever was going on. If I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to say everybody's doing it, and I'm supposed to believe that everybody was doing this in some way, shape, or form, they were the best at it, and the best is always going to get the brunt. Have you ever heard of a guy named Gary Bennett, a guy named Chad Allen, a guy named Mike Bell?
No.
You haven't, right?
Uh-uh.
Have you heard of Barry Bonds?
Yes.
Jason Giambi, Roger Clemens?
Yes. Yes.
They were all in the Mitchell Report, right? Did you ever hear anything about Gary Bennett, Mike Allen, and Mike Bell? Never.
No.
But you heard about Barry Bonds and all these guys. The Astros were just doing it better. And sometimes when you're doing it better, when you're doing it that high of a level, you're going to be the one that they're going to take it out on. You're going to be the one that's going to get the criticism, and that's the situation that they're in right now.
Yeah, but Lock Dog, it's crazy to me. It's like McClain just said it perfect. You look at Beltran's career. He was in with the Yankees 15.
Basically half a decade.
Yeah, he was with the Yankees. Then he was with the Rangers for a year. Then he was with the Astros in 17 when they'd been found guilty.
And back to the Yankees.
And then he went back to the Yankees. And so you think that was the only year that he cheated?
I would find it hard to believe.
I'd find it hard to believe that he wasn't staying employed at that age because of his ability to, pick up pitchers, tipping pitches and studying film and all that kind of thing. But do you think he walked in the Astros organization and said, man, y'all are behind times here, and that was the first time he ever recommended relaying signals from a dugout media room?
Find it hard to believe.
Find it hard to believe. So you got to think the Rangers are in the mix. You got to think the Yankees are in the mix. You know the Red Sox are in the mix. It's fixing to come out. And so for all these players to come out and shoot at the Astros and their apologies or lack thereof. Again, I agree with them. They were poorly constructed, with the exception of a few guys. I'm over it. I've heard enough, man.
I've heard enough from New York. Like that's really what bothers me. Like, I can understand players' perspectives. You know, Brandon Bakke was on earlier and he said that he was pissed off, and I get the Dodgers being pissed off. I just thought New York was above the whining that they've portrayed, and to add to it, I think that they were doing something too. I really, really do think that the Yankees were doing the same type of things with Carlos Beltran, with all this other stuff. I just think it's very, very rich how ridiculous the damn New York Yankees and pinstripes are. Just want Aaron Boone sounded like he was about to go kill himself the other day. Like, you're a baseball lifer and you're Aaron Boone and you're sitting there crying. It was almost pitiful seeing little Aaron Boone up there crying
that. Yeah, get the hell out of here. I will say this, Landry, you may have convinced me that there's one crew out there that may have a right to talk some serious trash, and that's the Dodgers.
They lost to two teams that have been in the center of cheating, the Red Sox and the Astros. That's a hell of a – just put yourself in other people's shoes. And I think that's important when you're doing this stuff. That's a hell of a tough pill to swallow, man.
Yeah, look, and that's what I'm saying. Like, until I hear that the Dodgers were doing similar things, or somebody that's been found guilty or the investigation revealed to everybody, made public that person was cheating – until I'm convinced that the Dodgers are, then they probably have a little bit of, or that they were cheating, they've probably got a little bit of an excuse to be pissed off. They've probably got a little bit of an excuse to empty the clip on the Astros. And as you mentioned, the Yankees and everybody else that they were up against, because they were the team on the other end of a World Series, on the other end of some of the MVP hunts, on the other end of literally putting trophies on the mantle. So I don't know that I'm ready to fire off on them, but everybody else, if you weren't in it, like in a World Series to where it actually impacted you and kept you from winning MVPs and winning World Series, then I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear about it, because you're either irrelevant or you were doing it, right? So I'm over the every time you look up, there's a different Major League Baseball player running across the ticker.
That ain't going nowhere,
with
bro.
Some kind of Smokies.
That ain't going nowhere, though, bro.
You're
going to be tired of it.
It damn sure ain't going nowhere when the owner gets up there and does what he does yesterday. But I do believe that Carlos Correa and them boys, the way that they handled it will help. Yes.
It might have to be like a Mickey's 40.
Yeah, I was a crazy horse guy.
Well, it's an acquired taste. You might have to just develop an acquired taste for this. You ever do some Edward 40 hands?
You about taping it to your hands?
Yeah,
bro. One of the worst nights of my I got knocked out when I was in ninth grade, and that night the only thing I remember from that night is my boy Cap.
Oh gosh,
because that was back in the day when you'd wrap tape, you know, like a medical tape around your bat. That's what your grip was, and so that's we had that laying everywhere around the house because we all play ball. And so I come in to the house one night, and there's obviously a party going on. And I look over at Cap, and you've seen Cap. Cap ain't 115 pounds soaking wet, right? And look, he's built the same way he is right now, minus the little beer gut he got. But he's got two Crazy Horse 40-ounce bottles taped to his hand. I'm talking about strong tape to his hand. Like, he can't put them down until he finishes. That's what I walk into. To the house, I'm not sure where Mom and Dad were, but he's got two Crazy Horse 40 ounces taped to his hands where he had no choice but to drink them one at a time. Bing, bing, double-fisted.
Yeah, got to get it done. Edward 40 hands, where I'm from. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker here, Sports Radio 610. Brian McDonald holding us down. Let's go out to Astro Spring Training. Sports Radio 610 is out there, courtesy of Texas Bay Credit Union, the official credit union of the Houston Astros. Let's talk to Adam Spillane. The activities of the day have wrapped up. It's the day after, I guess, the calm after the storm, if you will. Let's talk to Adam Spillane and see what he has to say about what's going on out there with your Houston Astros. That's next. Stern and Locke here, Sports Radio 610. Let's go out to spring training live, courtesy of Texas Bay Credit Union. Sports Radio 610 reporter Adam Spillane is roaming the fields. Adam, Landry Locker, Clint Sterner, thank you very much for joining the show. The biggest takeaway from day two following, my goodness, the chaos of yesterday, the biggest takeaway today was fill in the blank.
They actually talked about baseball today. It was more focused on baseball. You had Lance McCullers throw a bullpen. Justin Verlander was supposed to throw a bullpen, but he did not throw a bullpen. And then there was kind of the story, non-story of Zach Greinke still not being in camp, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be here for more than a week. So you can do with that what you want. But today was more focused on baseball. There were some scandal questions asked at certain points in the clubhouse today, but it was mostly baseball, so it was kind of refreshing.
Do you think that the Greinke not being there has anything to do with the fact that obviously the anxiety issues with all the media, knowing that the national attention was going to be multiplied by 100, you know, over the last couple of days? Do you think it has anything to do with that, or is it just as Dusty Baker said, it's because he's Zach Greinke?
I think it is 100%. He just doesn't like spring training. And there is a story from the Arizona Republic last year where he just showed up to spring training late last year as well. He has said in the past, spring training, it's not too long. It's just too boring. At this point in his career, I don't think he believes that he gains anything by it. And, you know, with the media stuff, he's very good at avoiding all the media stuff. Just at the World Series, he did not talk. He did not talk if he did not want to talk. And I just remember media day at the World Series, they have all the tables set up in the club level where all the players have to talk. And he was right next to Alex Bregman. And you have this huge crowd around Alex Bregman's table. Zach Greinke is sitting there and there is nobody around him. So people just don't really bother Greinke. They understand how he is with the media. He talks when he wants to talk, and that isn't very often.
Hey, take us through that. You said a couple of guys threw a bullpen. Take us through that. Is that literally that's crazy how sports are so different, man. Football's, you know, training camp versus spring training. But take us through that. I mean, these guys literally just show up, get loose, throw a bullpen, go in the weight room, lift a couple weights, go back to the hotel. I mean, what exactly does throw a bullpen consist of?
Well, so I'll tell you kind of through the day. So they met in the clubhouse today around 10 o'clock, and then they go out and they stretch on the field, and then a lot of times they'll do a throwing program. And every team's throwing program can be a little bit different. A lot of times you'll start 30 feet, you'll go to 60 feet, 90 feet, you might go to 120, and then some players will go further than 120. And then you'll throw flat grounds. And this varies depending on teams. I don't know exactly how the Astros do it. So you do your throwing program, then you go to the bullpen, and then you're throwing. It depends on the player. Some players, they might throw a 15-pitch bullpen. Some players might throw a 60-pitch bullpen. It all kind of depends on who the player is, what the player is trying to do. And so with McCullers, he threw what turned out to be a 17-pitch bullpen, and he said he went 100%. He was able to use all of his pitches. Some guys, when they throw a bullpen, they might throw, like I said, they might throw 30, 35, but they might go 80%, or they might have the catcher set up in front of home plate, and they call that a touch and feel, and that's just simply working on mechanics. But with McCullers, this was a full-thrown 17-pitch bullpen. He was able to accomplish everything that he wanted to accomplish today, and he's a guy who sounds like he's in a very good place as he continues to battle back from Tommy John surgery.
Talking to Adam Spillane out there at spring training, courtesy of Texas Bay Credit Union, Sports Radio 610 reporter Adam Spillane. I'm not asking you to base this on anything that you've seen because it's way too early to tell, but do you think that Forrest Whitley has a chance to be one of those guys on the roster when the season starts? Does he appear to be ready to take that next step that a lot of people were predicting he could potentially take last year?
I don't think so, because I don't know if they want to start the service time clock on him right at the start of the season. So that's the other thing that you have to remember. And that's one of the negative things about Major League Baseball at this point, is that you want to be able to have control over your players for as long as you possibly can. And I just don't think they know if he's ready at this point. Remember, he hasn't had really a full season at any point in the minor leagues. He was not good in AAA last year. He did bounce back, and he was better in the Arizona Fall League. But I would expect, you know, I've seen depth charts and, you know, projections with the starting rotation, and I haven't really even seen him mentioned. I've seen people talk for that fifth starter, three guys, Framber Valdez, Brad Peacock's been in there, and also Austin Pruitt, who was the last player Jeff Luhnow traded for. Those seem to be maybe the three guys that you look at for possibly taking over that fifth starter role. I think Whitley likely starts the season in AAA, and then hopefully you see better results out of him with Round Rock than you did last year, and then maybe he's able to challenge for a spot later on in the season.
Adam, I saw a video earlier of Dusty Baker, an interview earlier of Dusty Baker talking about kind of his habits at spring training, walking around and obviously managing the spring training. What does that look like from your perspective as far as visiting different pitchers, catchers, checking in on guys? Have you noticed anything over the last 24 hours?
You know, this is such a different situation from what he's used to, because, you know, he's taken over new teams before, but normally when you take over a new team, you take over a new team in October or November. He took over this team essentially in February, so he's still trying to figure out who everybody is at this point. You see him talk with coaches more than anything else. He'll go up to pitchers, and I did see him. He was talking with Dean Dietz earlier in the day. He was talking with him. I think he's just observing at this point and just trying to take in as much as he can, because this is he's essentially cramming. He's trying to figure out every single person on this roster. He doesn't have a lot of time to do it. And he even said, somebody asked him today about the fifth starter spot, and he said, ask me about that in a couple of weeks. Let me see these guys a little bit more. Let me see these guys get into games, and then we can really start getting into the number crunching of the roster. But this is a very different situation than he or really anyone has ever taken on before.
What about Verlander? Have you seen anything? Have you seen him throw a pen? Have you seen anything from him?
So Verlander was supposed to throw a pen today, and then the Astros said that he didn't. So the explanation that we were given was that Verlander threw a 60-pitch bullpen 2 days ago, and they wanted to wait for him to throw the next bullpen. Now, a 60-pitch bullpen and then coming back 2 days later seems a little bit odd. You don't normally see that. But I did talk with Dustin Gourneau, who caught the bullpen for Verlander, and he said that everything looked good. He said basically you just kind of set up and you're just along for the ride with him. So it doesn't seem like that there is any sort of an issue with Verlander, but he was supposed to throw a bullpen today, but he did not. They pushed that back. I don't know to when, but they have pushed it back.
Adam Spillane joining us live from spring training, courtesy of Texas Bay Credit Union. Give us someone to look out for, because we're trying to have this interview. And I'm not promising this all the time, Adam, during your time out there, but we're trying to stick a little bit to baseball here. Give Astros fans a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Give us some guys to look out for, because Dusty Baker at his press conference said that he likes to look for surprise guys, like surprise guys that can emerge and suddenly, you know, become key contributors right off the top. Give us a couple names to look out for that could be surprise guys for the Astros.
I think we brought it up earlier with with Forrest Whitley. He's been given an opportunity. He basically has a clean slate, new front office, new manager to go out and prove something. And Whitley said today that he put on weight. He's up about 15 pounds from where he was last year. He said that he frankly wore down a little bit during spring training. He did not work out as much. He did not throw as much, and he thinks that's going to benefit him moving forward this season. Now, again, I would be very surprised if he were to actually make the team out of spring training, but it is something to look for. Dustin Gourneau, the catcher who they got from who was with the A's last year, and he's also with the Angels, been around a long time. I think he's going to be a really solid contributor to this team. Just a really good veteran catcher, understands the game, understands pitchers, a mature guy. And then the other guy is Jose Urquidy. Remember, Urquidy had a really nice finish to the season. He kind of came out of nowhere during the summer last year to make a few starts. He was pitching out of the bullpen. Remember game six against the Yankees, he got a bunch of really key outs against the top of the Yankees order in that game, in that bullpen game. And then, like you said, he pitched really well in game four against the Nationals. So I think that's another guy that you could see take a step forward.
Well, what about some of the position players that are out there? I know they're out there early. I've seen some of them playing a little long toss, that kind of thing. Are those guys up to anything else? Are they milling around? Are you getting any time with them?
A little bit. Jose Altuve did talk to us today. Michael Brantley arrived in camp today, but we didn't talk to him. Mostly guys are just hitting in the cages. Nothing more than that. You'll see some guys in and out. Josh Reddick was there yesterday. He wasn't there today. So guys are just basically doing maintenance on their swings at this point in spring. There's not a whole lot else that they can do. I didn't see anyone taking ground balls or anything on any of the outside fields. This is just kind of a relaxing time for this group, just because there's not a whole lot for them to do until position players are actually supposed to report next week.
Adam, we appreciate it. Yesterday you had pizza. What was for lunch today?
There were some leftover slices. I think I had one of those, and then I had a protein bar that I had in my bag.
There we go. Go get you some dinner, man. Adam Spillane, Sports Radio 610 reporter. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much, man.
Yep, sure thing. Y'all have a good weekend.
Adam Spillane, brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union, the official credit union of your Houston Astros. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker, Brian McDonald with you here on Sports Radio 610. It is Valentine's Day. And my man Clint Sterner is going to play matchmaker, a match that needs to happen. He'll tell you what it is next. All right, Clint, you're going to play matchmaker. It's Valentine's Day. There's a match that you say needs to happen. Might not,
yep.
Not romantically,
yep.
But in the sports world, there is a match that needs to happen. I'm intrigued by this. Lay it on the people in H-Town right now.
I think Bill O'Brien should go sign P.J. Walker. I think it would be a good idea. Here's the deal. The only problem with that is that we had Oliver Luck on earlier, and Oliver Luck let us know that it's a one-year contract. So he can't legally do anything until, I think it was late April, April 26th or something like that. I wrote it down earlier in the rundown. But
it's before camp.
It's before camp. So if you can't sign the guy, I think
P.J. Walker, by the way, the quarterback for the Roughnecks of the XFL.
If you can't sign the guy, I think you should illegally tamper at the very least. I think you just should send a couple of current, some of the practice squad guys, maybe Caron Higdon, something like that, over towards the Roughnecks and kind of partner up with P.J. Walker. And when the timing's right, I just think that Bill O'Brien should lock up P.J. Walker.
All right, two things here, Clint. I'm not trying to break up your match, but two things. Number one, Matt Rhule, his former college coach, is in Carolina, so it might be a better fit there. Maybe. Because they're so close and Cam Newton's going to leave and all that. Maybe.
Okay.
Number two, do you like P.J. Walker?
I do like P.J. Walker, yeah.
Then why would you wish that on him? I'm not trying to be trite, but I'm just saying, like, if we're worried about Bill O'Brien maximizing a guy like a Deshaun Watson to the point where you want him to hire an offensive coordinator, do you think that he could maximize a guy that doesn't have as much God-given talent as a Deshaun Watson?
I see where you're going.
Not as much God-given talent. Do you think it would be the best fit for the young man?
No. No, I don't. Not based off what I've seen. But here's the deal. Here's my number one thought behind this is that I believe the Roughnecks, June Jones, the offense with a similar skill set quarterback to Deshaun Watson, They put up 30. Was it 37 or 39 last week?
Close to 40.
Hey, look, in 2 months' time of knowing people, knowing June Jones, I don't know, 2 months, maybe 3 months. It doesn't matter. It's when you compare it to 4 years, it's a short period of time. My man went out there, 37. They scored 37 points. My man went out there and executed flawlessly. He knew where to go with the football. He processes at a whole nother level. The scheme around him that June Jones put on the field, the screen game was nasty. The quick game was nasty. The shots they took were on time, executed well, moved the football. The run game, it appeared from the TV now. I didn't study the game film, but it appeared from the TV. There's a lot of zone read in there. There was a couple times where he pulled it out of the running back's belly and kept it for a couple yards. There was a lot of good going on right there. And I'm just telling you, it's way early for this, but if June Jones goes out there and the Roughnecks rattle off 10, 12, how many games they got? 10? 10 game schedule, just like NFL Europe. 10 game schedule. And they go out there and rattle off 35-plus points per. And they go out there and that quarterback with a very similar skill set to Deshaun Watson plays at an extremely high level. You don't think that there's going to start being a little chirping going on about how come the XFL Roughnecks can do it and Bill O'Brien can't figure out how
there
to
already
do it
was,
each other football?
There already was last week.
So I thought I was ahead of the game.
There already was last week. I mean, it was already going on.
You were at the game, though.
I was at the game. Okay. No, it was already going on last week to where people were talking about how that offense looked compared to what the Texans does. Not when the Texans offense is running at their best. And I got to be fair and say it runs the best, but we've also seen it plateau quite a few times as well, but that's a lot of people are already saying that.
Well, here, look, obviously it's apples and oranges. We're talking about the XFL to the NFL. It's obviously much more difficult to have
2 months to get ready to play peewee football is hard.
But here's the deal: is I hate when people, like generally speaking, say, well, it's the exit. It's the same. You got the same caliber players against each other. You got the same period of time. It's a level playing
field.
You
need to do the same things.
Right.
Like when you run an offense at the college level, the professional level, you need to do the same things.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And when you watch, at least it's one game, very small sample size, and I may be putting the cart before the horse. But I'm telling you, P.J. Walker, you don't have to watch him throw more than about.
He was on a practice squad, so you're not. I mean, he got Andrew Luck's endorsement and stuff. So it's not like you're just picking some Keanu Reeves straight off the houseboat or something like that. Like this, the guy has the endorsement of Andrew Luck, and he's been on an NFL practice squad.
And my man's got a whip now. He can spin the rock. It's
impressive.
Talking
about a car?
I'm talking about his arm.
Okay, I thought a whip was a car.
Yeah, whip could be a car as well, but this is actually his arm. My man can spin the rock. His arm is loose. It's fluid. It's the arm slot's able to change. The arm talent's there. None of it is Pat Mahomes type stuff, right? The athletic, the ability to drive the football down the field. It's not Deshaun Watson type stuff. It's not high level NFL caliber, but it's NFL caliber. I promise you, there are guys that are backups in this league that can't whip the football the way P.J. Walker can whip the football around the park. Now they may be 6'4" and he's 5'10" or whatever he is. So size holds him back to a certain extent. But anyway, when I first started having this conversation, I thought, you know, it's a little early, but and it may be a little bit of a stretch, but I could see it. I mean, I've heard a lot of things in this city since I started doing radio, man, about Bill O'Brien and the Texans offense. So I'm going, it's a little bit of a stretch, but hey, why don't we have a little fun with it? And you look at it. I had in my notes, screen game's nasty, creative quick, shots were nasty, quarterback's processing at a high level, they're using tempo, really, really good.
You only got a 25-second play clock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's never a problem, by the way. And as I watch him, I'm like, yeah, this kid's a legit NFL caliber arm, caliber player. Clearly, his intangibles are through the roof. His strengths, they're very similar to Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
He's not Deshaun Watson. But when you talk about his strengths with the ability to move in the pocket, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to carry the load with his legs. But the zone read game, very effective. The ability to move the pocket, very effective. The ability to process at a high level, very effective. And so the more I start digging into this, I'm like, damn, I may not be too far off. A.J. McCarron's gone, right? A.J. McCarron's a free agent, right?
Yes, he is.
You got to find a backup.
You got to get a veteran, right?
For what? So he can run Brady's offense?
In case Deshaun gets hurt or something? I don't know.
No. No. No, you get a guy with similar skill set that you trust, obviously. If you don't trust a guy, he kicks rocks. But you get a guy in there that –
You got to bring back A.J., right?
I don't know. I don't know what the money looks like. And I don't know if A.J. – I would think A.J. would want to go somewhere and be a starter. I would think A.J. would want to go somewhere with an opportunity to compete and start. I don't know where that is. That's worth a flip anyway. I don't know if he wants to relive his Cincinnati days. But I would think that's a whole different question, Lock Dog. I mean, the point is that if the backup is available, if it comes open and they are taking applications over off Kirby, I think P.J. Walker should be in the conversation. Right?
I don't know. I don't know if I would want him to back up Deshaun. I think he's a little bit too much of a project for me. And I like the kid. I think he could maybe be one of those guys that's on a practice squad for a while, but I think you need a veteran to back up.
So you're a big fan. You're a big fan of the veteran backup that can come off the bench cold turkey, and I appreciate that.
On this team, yes.
Yeah.
On this team. But because I think that the starter Clint has enough of a hard time, whether it's schematic, and Dan Orlovsky said it's schematic, but they have enough of a hard time picking up blitzes, doing all that type of stuff. This offense is too difficult. So I think you just need one of those veteran minds that can comprehend all this information. That's just an adjustment. That's just an adjustment to what this is. Now, if you told me that Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator and then I'd bring in the backup, I might be able to entertain with you. I might be able to rap with you a little bit and get a chance here. But I think in this offense, this situation, with how hard it is to consume information, with the schematic flaws of the system, I think you need a guy who's just going to go out there and be able to not get you beat.
Yeah. I err on the side of if you lose Deshaun Watson, you probably ain't got a damn chance anyway.
Well, you're probably right.
So the best thing to do would be have a guy back there where literally the only thing that changes is the guy taking the snaps. You don't change the offense. You don't change the play calling. You don't change the – nothing changes except you've got – a different number taking snaps, right? You still work the zone read game. You still got the RPO game going where it's a drastic change. Now, professionals should be able to do it. It's a drastic change, which we saw with the Texans in week 17 when A.J. McCarron took the reins at quarterback. It's a drastic change when you have a guy that's specifically a pocket passer. But I don't know. I can't disagree with you. Give me a good processing guy. He's going to err on the side of always getting the ball out quick and taking it to the right spot to avoid negative plays. I don't know that guy couldn't win a couple of games for you here. I don't know that guy wouldn't be a pretty good fit with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I think AJ would be all right if you can bring him back. So, someone like that, like one of those types of guys. Blake Bortles even, like, I know that sounds crazy. Blake Bortles is even a backup.
Now you're pushing buttons. See, I told you was a pot stirrer in the break, and now you're over here.
Blake Bortles, you could do a lot worse than Blake Bortles as a backup. Backup.
Chief, I want my backup to at least give me a chance when he gets in the game. Blake Bortles couldn't make the throws consistently when his ass was getting 90% of the snaps.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but most backups are failed starters anyways. Backups are usually failed starters.
Or guys that were just limited to a point where somebody came on, like my man in Philly.
That's my guy. I wanted him last year.
Josh McCown.
That's my dog right there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I just need a guy that's good. Come off, lack a little arm strength, okay. A.J. McCarron's a great one. Come off the bench, right? Be able to distribute the football, throw it accurately. If I call a play to where I get a guy open, I need you to throw an accurate ball, right? And that's all I can ask out of a backup. Now, on the flip side, if you've got a young up-and-coming backup, then I need you to get in there and go make plays, sometimes with your feet, sometimes with whatever the strengths of your skill set are, we can move forward with. So, I don't know. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, P.J. Walker, you might want to go claim him if they rip this thing up.
I don't think B.O.B. would do that. I don't think he's B.O.B.'s type of backup.
That's a good point.
I don't think he's B.O.B.'s type of backup. Now,
what is B.O.B.'s type of backup?
B.O.B.'s type of backup is like a Brandon Whedon, a Tom Savage, who was actually a starter for a while, an A.J. McCarron. That's like his type. I'm telling you what his backup is. I'm giving you history, bro.
I know.
Does the Texans offensive line, Clint Sterner, Landry Locker here with you on Valentine's Day, at what point does the Texans offensive line become like one of the best in the league? And the reason I say that is because I was looking at the numbers just, you know, when I was in the lab earlier this week, and everyone keeps talking about this improvement of the Texans offensive line. And I guess I'm supposed to believe that there was significant improvement on the offensive line, but they still allowed the eighth most sacks in the NFL this year, and they only allowed 13 fewer. I know 13 is a lot, but they allowed 13 fewer sacks than what they did last year. And if you just look at what they've invested, Clint.
Is that including the extra games?
No. That's in the regular season. 13 fewer sacks, eighth most sacks allowed in the NFL. You have two firsts for Laremy Tunsil on the left side. I won't throw in the second. We'll just pretend like they threw that in for Stills. You have $7 million invested per year to Zach Fulton at guard. You have a second-round pick invested in Nick Martin, and you made him one of the five highest-paid centers in the league. You have a second-round pick in Max Sharping, who was your starting right guard, and then Titus Howard at right guard was another first-round pick. So you have three firsts, two seconds, and $7 million invested in that offensive line, and you're allowing the eighth most sacks. Make some sense of that to me. I think Deshaun probably deserves a little bit of the blame, but Dan Orlovsky is insistent that it's schematic.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, I've been telling you that for a year plus now. I mean, the deal is that I think when somebody with this that follows this team closely.
But explain to me what that means, though, because I'm not trying to cut you off, but explain to me what that means as far as schematic, because
the Buffalo Bills game. The play that he made.
Is it helping the quarterback recognize? Is it not having options to where the quarterback can get rid of the ball quickly? Like, what is going on schematically there that is so hard for this coaching staff to comprehend, according to guys like you and Dan Orlovsky?
Because that guy, they should be accounted for. You have options, right? When you see a zero blitz, right? You either bring somebody back into the backfield, or you slide the offensive line of direction, or and you pick it up and you got a helmet for a helmet, or you don't and you have a receiver adjust and you get the football out. There's way too many times where the ball is snapped and Deshaun doesn't have options. He doesn't have any guys. Like, it's like that play against Buffalo. Tywan Jones, he ran an 8-yard stop. That's never been a blitz outlet, ever. And Deshaun audibled to that.
Deshaun straight up said, I knew I was going to get the crap knocked out of me, but I was going to throw it to him.
Right. So that tells me he doesn't have answers. That tells me that he doesn't have answers. He doesn't trust that this offense is going to provide answers moving forward. So I've got to take an all-out risk of getting my head knocked off in hopes that I can go make one play and win this football game. And so some people look at that and go, well, Deshaun Watson came. And look, I may be wrong.
Deshaun deserves some of the blame. Let's be fair. Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe not?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that there's times when you look at it and you go, hey, he should have went here with the ball or should have went there with the ball. But I'm a firm believer when you're talking about a guy that's a caliber player physically and mentally, for that matter, that can win a national title in college. And I know you're tired of hearing about that, but that's the caliber player that he is.
No, I get it.
That can go do the things that he's done, make the throws that he can make. In year three, basic blitzes out of an empty package should not be a problem, right? So, and I may be completely wrong. And Deshaun Watson may have three brain cells and two of them jokers is fighting when he's back here taking snaps. I may be, but I've talked to him,
and that's the whole thing. Anyone who talks to him and listens to him and then hears him after the game, and then he'll tell you exactly what went on minutes after. He doesn't have to say, like, when Deshaun Watson goes up to the podium, I'm sorry for getting fired up on this,
but when
he goes up to the podium, because I get what you're saying, but when he goes up to the podium, he doesn't say, I'll have to watch the tape. He can tell you exactly what happened, exactly where it was going, everything like that. And it's damn sure not the moments too big for him, because we know better than that.
Like, dog, I've been around a lot of great quarterbacks in my time. A lot of great quarterbacks. I've never been around a quarterback that could do what Deshaun Watson did in that room in there when we were watching film in a 5-minute span of we got this protection call, boom, he's sliding here, we're doing this, we're doing that. Duke Johnson actually blew that protection because we signed him right before camp, boom, 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 boom. I've never been around a quarterback that could do that and not take it to the field in a very basic fashion of the Buffalo game. And I keep saying the Buffalo game. That's just an example of those types of situations. We're not talking about rocket science. We're not talking about Brady and Peyton Manning types of things, like the great pocket passers that have to be unbelievably sharp up front and know the ins and outs of every protection and be able to adjust it and be able to – I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the very basic vanilla slide protects, empty protections, where if you don't have a hat for a hat, you got to get the football out. I don't believe that Deshaun Watson is the caliber quarterback that struggles with that year three unless
– I can't believe it either.
Unless he doesn't have answers or he's being coached.
It has to be. And I mean, it's a package deal with quarterbacks, Clint. Like when we talk about Pat Mahomes 10 years from now, I feel confident saying we'll talk about Mahomes and Reed, Montana and Walsh, Favre and Holmgren, Aikman and Norv Turner. I could keep going for days. Like it's usually a package deal. And if you have one and you don't have the other, they're not gonna get to that situation. And I don't want to say it's frustrating. It's just kind of interesting in that it has to be either Deshaun, it has to be schematic, it has to be something or it has to be misevaluation because I just laid out what they've invested in this offensive line. And they're still the 8th most sacked team in the league. That's a problem.
And look, I'll say this. Deshaun Watson holds the statement that a lot of people like to lean on heavily is Deshaun Watson holds the football too long. And that is 100% correct. There are sacks out there where you got a hat for a hat. Nothing's there. You got to put your foot down, put in the ground and get vertical. Or you got to drop your eyes and find your outlet. And he doesn't do that very well. He needs to develop in that particular fashion, okay? No doubt about it. But – The part that drives the Dan Orlovsky's of the world crazy and me.
I went back to his tweets about it. I have like 5 years of just Dan Orlovsky just going in on it.
It's the stuff Dan's talking about, it sounds complicated to your common mind, but in the football scheme of things, it's not. It's very vanilla, basic football 101 things that don't get accomplished in the Texans offense. And it's either I'm personally not buying that Deshaun Watson can't get those things done and has never got those things done.
I'm trying to be fair to even entertain it, honestly, but I'm 100% with you. But to each his own. We will see, Clint.
We'll see, baby.
It's been fun, man.
Yeah, man. Good. 8 hours. How's it feel, man?
I feel fine. I feel very, very fine. I probably feel more fine than I should. I probably need to get something to eat, but I'm good, man. It's been fun. Always enjoy it. Enjoyed passing you in the halls and teammates, but it was good to get to work with you today. B-Mac, appreciate you as well. Thank you very much for all you do. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to everyone who hopped on. We had Oliver Luck. We had Presidents. What do you like to call him? BMC. We had the quarterback for the XFL. Help me out with the name.
PJ Walker, man.
I was trying to get to see if
he had the general Mad Dog. He hijacked about half of one segment. That was all.
That was hilarious. Might hear that on In the Loop. And then we had Adam Spillane. For Clint Sterner, for Brian McDonald, I'm Landry Locker. My favorite edition of Texans All Access is next. I'm not just saying this because he might be listening right now, but John Harris, Friday edition of Texans All Access, especially during the season, is my favorite edition of Texans All Access, and that's what's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.